Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, July 1st, 2026. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. State Board of Education hires David Hahn as Boise State University president. Measles outbreak in Teton County in Wyoming. Washington Attorney General Nick Brown files amicus brief against Trump's plans to open Alaska's North Slope and the wildlife refuge there to oil and gas. And new Idaho laws go into effect today. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho State Board of Education today hired University of Arizona College of Engineering Dean David Hahn as Boise State University president. The official decision comes about 2 weeks after the State Board named Hahn as the only finalist after a year-long search. Hahn replaces Marlene Tromp, who left BSU last year to become president of the University of Vermont. Hahn starts today as BSU president, a job that will pay $480,000 per year. That's up from $473,500 that Tromp earned in her salary. The Idaho Capital Sun reported Hahn said at the state board meeting, in which most board members attended via Zoom, "Boise State University is the place for me. I can't wait to get going." Ed Board President Kurt Liebig replied, "I hope you're ready to hit the ground running because you're running as of today." The state board's year-long search for a new BSU president was mainly taking place behind closed doors. In recent years, many prime candidates for college president positions have insisted on non-disclosure when they interview for the job, and as a result, college and university presidential search committees have reduced the size of the lists of finalists they publish. In Boise State University's case, the State Board of Education only announced the name of the single finalist, David Hahn, in mid-June. The Idaho Press reports the 62-year-old Hahn has an academic background in engineering and has been working in the field for 28 years. He moved from research to administration at the University of Florida. Hahn has worked for Sandia National Laboratories and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. He holds 12 patents and has published more than 130 research articles. Hahn says his emphasis will not just be on STEM, which is an acronym for science, tech, engineering, and math. He said at a press availability in mid-June, "That will be part of our strategy because it's here to serve the state's needs and labor force. But, and this is an important one, we will look at this entire campus. We have 5 academic colleges, and every single one of those colleges is important to our success." Wyoming health officials are warning locals and tourists of possible exposure to measles in Grand Teton National Park and the city of Jackson. The Wyoming Health Department confirmed an unvaccinated adult in Teton County, Wyoming, had the measles. The news outlet WyoFile said the public may have been exposed between Wednesday, June 17th, and Thursday, June 25th, including at 2 restaurants in Grand Teton National Park's Coulter Bay Village, Wednesday and Thursday, June 17th and 18th, at a Coulter Bay convenience store on Saturday, June 20th, and at a Target store in Jackson, Thursday, June 25th. State Health Officer Alexia Harris wrote in a press release, "We are asking people who may have been exposed to watch for measles symptoms for 21 days past the exposure date and consider avoiding crowded public places and high-risk settings such as daycare centers." The governors of 11 Western states signed a letter endorsing the establishment of a multi-state task force to study and create an action plan to update the region's energy grid. The bipartisan letter came at the end of the Western Governors Association meeting in Park City, Utah, yesterday. The Utah News-Dispatch reports the letter endorses the Western Transmission Expansion Coalition, or WESTTEC. Republican Utah Governor Spencer Cox said WESTTEC is an industry-led effort that takes a new collaborative approach to one of our region's most pressing infrastructure challenges, recognizing that this grid system is a team sport. We can't just fix the grid in Utah. It won't help everywhere else. We have to do it everywhere. We're going to cut through the red tape. We're going to do this together. We're going to get projects moving much more quickly, and we're going to fix our grid. Modernizing our grid will show that we can continue to increase economic competition, ensure energy security, and mitigate environmental hazards. The governors of Colorado, Wyoming, Nevada, Idaho, Oregon, Montana, North Dakota, Arizona, New Mexico, and Washington signed the letter. Defendants in a lawsuit, including FBI agents, filed motions for dismissal last week over ICE and law enforcement agencies detaining 400 people at a horse racing track in Wilder, Idaho, last October. The American Civil Liberties Union says ICE and other law enforcement zip-tied the mostly Latino horse race attendees, and officials interrogated them about their immigration status for 4 hours. ICE took 105 of those detained into custody that day. In February, the ACLU filed the lawsuit on behalf of 3 adults and 4 minors who are U.S. citizens or permanent residents. The defendants are ICE Field Sub-Office Director Kenneth Porter, FBI Salt Lake City Office Special Agent Robert Bowles, FBI Boise Special Agent Chris Sheehan, FBI Special Agent Jake Sheridan, Idaho State Police Director Bill Gardner, Canyon County Sheriff Kieran Donahue, Nampa Police Chief Joe Huff, and Caldwell Police Chief Rex Ingram. The lawsuit says the warrant the FBI used to arrest 4 horse race organizers for alleged illegal gambling was not enough to allow for the detaining of hundreds who were not partaking in criminal activity. The ACLU says the Ku Klux Klan Act of 1871 prohibits conspiracy to use state power to deprive people of equal rights. The motion for dismissal says Nampa Police Chief Joe Huff and Caldwell Police Chief Rex Ingram say the ACLU has not provided enough evidence to show they, quote, personally violated, conspired to violate, or failed to prevent violation of any clearly established constitutional right. Defense attorneys representing the law enforcement agents say there was no proof either Huff or Ingram knew of any violation of rights. The motion says plaintiffs also allege denial of food, water, bathroom access, medical care, and other alleged burdens. Those allegations are serious, but it does not connect them to Chief Ingram and Huff with facts showing personal participation, direction, knowledge, or failure to intervene in the face of a clearly established constitutional violation. The motion for dismissal on behalf of the 4 FBI agents argues that the case is based on state law and therefore is not applicable to them because they operate under federal law. Presiding Chief U.S. District Judge Amanda Brailsford will decide on the motion for dismissal. And you're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by Moscow Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center, a nonprofit organization dedicated to bringing commerce and community together through business support, local events, and economic development initiatives. 114 South Main Street in downtown Moscow, 208-882-1800, and moscowchamber.com. Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Idaho Chapter and Palouse Group of the Sierra Club, which are building a grassroots movement for climate and ecological justice in Idaho. Sierra Club empowers community members of all ages to advocate for clean energy, abundant wildlife, and outdoor access. SierraClub.org/Idaho/Palouse-group.
Don't touch that dial.
You got it right.
We're up in the morning when it first gets light, and we do it all day. Then we're up all night so you can listen to the radio.
You got it right.
You can listen to the radio.
You've got it right.
Listen, listen, anytime you listen, everybody's on a mission, and there ain't nothing missing when you listen to the radio.
You listen to the radio.
You've got it right.
Community radio.
Listen, and you give a little listen to the radio.
Radio Free Moscow.
Fight Back Radio.
It's 90.3 on your radio dial.
Fight Back.
Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for your support. So keep on listening and listening and listening.
Fight back.
We're still here.
Radio.
Fight
back.
Fight
back.
Fight
back.
Fight
back.
Fight
back. Fight back.
Fight back.
Washington Attorney General Nick Brown last week filed amicus briefs in multi-state lawsuits trying to block Trump from allowing oil and gas development in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Alaska Native Villages, Earth Justice, and the National Resources Defense Council filed three lawsuits against the Trump administration for allowing the development. Attorney General Brown and 13 other attorneys general filed the amicus brief saying oil and gas development on the North Slope will harm migratory birds and increase greenhouse gas emissions. The lawsuit says wildlife experts have identified 157 bird species in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, including Pacific loons, western sandpipers, and gold plovers, which migrate between Alaska's North Slope and California, Oregon, and Washington.
The Backroads Tour, a music festival highlighting the cultural contributions of rural communities across the country, will come to Washington State this Saturday. Starting with Georgia in May, each stop on the tour has centered the work of local artists and organizers in rural communities. Matt Hildreth, an organizer of the tour and executive director of the nonprofit Rural Progress, says the idea is to spotlight the roles that rural America has played in moving the country forward.
The Backroads Tour is all about celebrating the last 250 years of rebellious joy in small towns and rural communities. Rural America has always been on the front line of pushing for progress and making our communities better.
The tour is wrapping up this Saturday at Tractor Tavern in Seattle. People can find out more at backroads.us. Hildreth says community connection is harder to come by in rural towns than it has been in the past, and so he intentionally kept the tour venues small. He says rural cultural is valuable, and the tour aims to preserve it.
We want to celebrate that, and we want to invest in that as we start to build a rural America that's more empowered, thriving, and equitable.
The 4th of July performance will feature Melissa Carper, Jontavious Willis, and the Reverend Marigold. I'm Isabel Charlet, Washington News Service.
More than 700 bills were introduced during the 2026 Idaho legislative session. The following is a selection of those that passed and the governor signed, which are going into effect today. House Bill 583 places limitations on cities and counties to regulate short-term rentals such as Airbnb and Vrbo, while they will retain the power to enact safety ordinances such as those for smoke alarms, occupancy limits, and carbon monoxide detectors, and enforce existing ordinances affecting their other residential properties, such as noise, parking, and curfew ordinances. Counties and cities will no longer be allowed to require specific licenses, fees, or operation permits to run a short-term rental business. Senate Bill 1352, which only applies to cities with populations more than 10,000, prohibits local zoning codes from barring compact single-family housing developments. Senate Bill 1354 similarly directs cities with populations of more than 10,000 to remove bans on accessory dwelling units in residential zones. Accessory dwelling units are smaller independent living spaces located on the same lot as a single-family home, often called mother-in-law houses. More specifically, cities will need to allow at least one accessory dwelling unit per lot, allow them to be up to 75% the size of the main house, and cannot require additional parking for the unit. House Bill 516 bars the use of taxpayer money for teachers' unions, including paid time off, to partake in teacher union activities, including supporting or opposing candidates, legislation, regulation, ordinances, or ballot measures, or preparing, conducting, or attending teachers' union events. The law prohibits union dues auto pay using public school payroll systems. All contracts negotiated, amended, or extended after today will be subject to the new law. House Bill 37 makes death by firing squad the primary method of execution in Idaho. Idaho is one of only two states to allow it and the only state to set it as the default. House Bill 542 requires social media platforms to remove addictive traits on child-owned accounts, such as infinite scrolling, autoplay video, and push notifications, and obtain parental consent for accounts belonging to children 16 and under, to determine that these age-based restrictions should be implemented. A social media provider must estimate with 80% confidence the account holder's age. The new law will only apply to platforms exceeding $1 billion in advertising revenue. House Bill 928 requires Idaho healthcare facilities that receive Medicaid funding to eliminate any diversity, equity, and inclusion practices, including hiring based on race or sex, mandatory bias training, or pledges in support of diversity, equity, and inclusion. House Bill 860 updated Idaho's outgoing 2024 parental consent law, which required, except where the child's life was in danger or where the child faced serious health risks and their parents were unreachable, that any medical care provided to minors be provided only with the consent of a parent. The new law carves out exceptions for the administration of first aid and the utilization of the state's suicide hotline by minors. House Bill 822 requires when a child requests social transition participation from educators, healthcare providers, and child care providers, that the educators, healthcare providers, or child care providers inform the child's parent or guardian within 3 days. The bill defines participation broadly to include adhering to a child's request to be referred to by pronouns or titles that do not correspond to their birth certificate, or to use facilities or participate in teams and activities divided by sex and corresponding to the sex opposite to their birth certificate. Under the law, teachers and providers will have 72 hours after such a request by the child to notify parents or guardians. Failure to comply can result in up to $100,000 in fines. Senate Bill 1232 updates Idaho's 1978 Son of Sam law in order to close loopholes around the ability of criminals to financially gain from the coverage of their crimes. Excepted from the updated law are income unrelated to the crime, legal payouts, and news and documentary work created, quote, mainly to inform or educate, and where the offender is paid only normal interview fees. Outside of those exceptions, any potential gains the criminal may have made will instead go to the Idaho State Treasurer. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area, it'll be partly cloudy tonight with a low of 44, increasing clouds tomorrow with a high of 73, mostly cloudy during the evening Thursday night, then gradual clearing, low around 48, and mostly clear Friday through Monday with highs 77 Friday, 80 on Saturday, Independence Day, 83 on Sunday, and 88 on Monday. Lows will be around 49 Friday and Saturday night, 51 Sunday night. Current temperature is 70 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. David Katz assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman Community Radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online. Flashpoints is up next. Lockdown Mosh Pit on 7:30 to 8:30. Music begins in earnest with Grateful Dead Through the Decades with Arlene at 8:30. And syndicated Brazilian music show Bossa Brasil is on at 10 p.m. So stay tuned for more.
Extinction Rebellion Palouse proudly supports KRFP. XR Palouse is organizing to have our governments and institutions declare a climate emergency, achieve climate justice and biodiversity, and leverage the power of arts and humanities to foster social change. KRFP is dedicated to progressive values, including justice and multiculturalism.